Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
We are empowered by SID Media. Like I've promised you, we do have Pastor on the line, Pastor Godswill Gumbo. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, my Pastor. And how are you?
I'm very fine.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, my Pastor. Before we get into our conversation, can you pray for us?
Oh, yes. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for being with us. Lord, for keeping us safe from harm and danger and allowing us to be part of the living today. May you please continue blessing us and calling us into salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen, my Pastor. Thank you so much for that prayer. Let's get into our conversation for today. So being a man, we are talking about parenting with purpose, what it means to be a man. So being a man isn't about muscles, right? Money or macho, yeah, or macho moments. Real manhood is about integrity, service, strength, under control and faith that leads. But with so many conflicting messages in the media and culture, boys needs a clear direction on what biblical masculinity looks like and how to grow into it with grace. So my question to you, my pastor, is that what are the world's definitions of manhood and how do they compare with God's?
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe let us start with the worldly definitions.
Right.
You'll understand that the world has defined men or has equated masculinity with physical powers or physical pros, you know. It promotes the idea that real men must be muscular and tough, you know. That's one of the worldly definitions that we have for men. Then the other one is, you know, in fact, many believe that a man's value is determined by his financial status. So this is a materialistic view, which is really creating a lot of pressure to a lot of young men who are growing. And a lot of them would rather prioritize wealth over character. Then we also have another wrong definition of view of what a man is, with the worldly definition that you know it has to do with aggression and dominance, especially media. You know, if you watch the way media glorifies aggression. You know, there is this stereotype of macho men that is really promoting a lot of toxic behaviors where strength is misrepresented as the ability to control or to overpower others. Yet the Bible is so clear. The Bible gives us a beautiful definition of what man is. The first one is integrity. You know, honestly, it's not about physical strength or financial success or aggression or dominance, but integrity. A real man acts with honesty and moral clarity. You know, we read this from the book of Proverbs, the chapter is 9, where the Bible says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." Then the second definition that I love, or the second thing that we find in the definition of what the Bible says about men, a man is full of service. We have Jesus being our example. In the book of Matthew, the chapter is 20 and the verses 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So a man comes to serve. He does not come to be served. He comes to be, to exemplify servant leadership. He is a servant, but yet he is a leader. Instead of a man being aggressive and just dominant, you need to exemplify servant leadership. And men, you know, biblically also, true strength is about self-control.
Mm.
We talk about the fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians chapter 5, 22-23, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when we're defining a man, we need to find these aspects in a man, and also faith leadership. A man of faith leads by example. We are told to be on our guard and stand firm in the faith, and also be courageous and be strong. So this is the definition of biblical definition of man, which is against the worldly definition of man.
Sure. Oh, powerful one, my pastor. Thank you so much for that. And who are some biblical men that boys can learn from today, and what made them godly?
I have four men I love so much. These men are my role models. The first one, I'll say it's David.
Okay.
You know, we know David for his heart. You know, his heart of God, or for God, you know, David is one guy who faced a giant and took him down. He was small, he was powerless, but because he trusted in God, he defeated a giant.
Hmm.
So that shows, number one, his courage as a man. You know, this world needs men who are courageous, who will face giants, and who will face this world with courage, even though they are powerless. You know, he was just a small boy, but he faced the giants. And he's also one man who makes mistakes and accepts that he has made a mistake. You know, as men, it is in our nature not to accept that we make mistakes. it's difficult to accept even if you're a man.
Mm. Hello. All right. It seems like we are losing Pastor Gumbo. Pastor, can you hear me?
You know,
yes.
David.
Sorry, my pastor.
Is one guy.
I've lost you for a second there. I'm really sorry. Can you repeat? What you were saying?
All right. You know, David is one man who accepts that I'm wrong. You know, it's a very difficult trait to find in a man who accepts that they are wrong, but he sins. And he accepts that, you know what, I am wrong. There is another man, the man who is called Daniel. You know, as men, if we want to be great men, we need to have purpose in our hearts. We need to stand for what is right. We need to know, you know, what is not right to do and what is right to do. You know, when you read about Daniel, the Bible says Daniel purposes in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. You know, we have men who don't know how to say no.
Right.
They'll just take every opportunity for an opportunity. But no, sometimes some opportunities leave them behind. Because of Daniel having a purpose, we find him a great man. We find him an administrator in the grounds of a foreign land.
Mm.
We also have a young man, Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, yet he chose forgiveness.
Mm.
You know, as men, we need men who forgive, not men who who stay with grudges and always call out others and say, you did something wrong. No. We need men who are forgiving. We need men who will forgive. Men who will forgive their brothers, who will even forgive those who trespass against them. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we have Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example of a man, an ultimate example of servitude. He taught that greatness comes from serving others. We read from the book of Mark, the chapter is 10 and the verses 45, where we are told that, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Beautiful one, my pastor. Wow. What a powerful point right there. And how can young boys, develop emotional maturity and spiritual strength?
You know, when you talk about young men and emotional and spiritual growth, you know, I'm noticing that this world has started neglecting boys. and no one wants to talk about emotional strength or emotional maturity to young men. You know, young men are taught to be strong and to hide how they feel. That is what that shows them, that they are strong and tough. But that's not it, because we have a lot of men who are taking their lives because they are failing to face this life. But the first step to this growth, number one, is self-reflection. You know, young men should be encouraged to journal their feelings and experiences. I want to tell you that this practice will really help young men process emotions and also develop self-awareness. The second one is prayer and meditation. You know, young men should be taught to pray. They should be taught the importance of prayer. In fact, they are to be the priests of their own homes. So they need to be encouraged to have a daily quiet time for reflection and connection with God. You know,
right?
You cannot lead unless you have been taught, or unless you have learned how to be led. So young men should be taught to pray and should be taught to meditate and allow God to be the one who leads them.
Right.
They need also to build relations. You know, I've noticed something. You know, I'm a young man. I grew up in a family where I was the only boy with sisters, and it has been difficult for me to make meaningful friendships. But I want to tell you, having friendships that also encourage accountability. You know, you need friends that will tell you that, my friend, you are wrong. Fix this.
Yeah.
My friend, you need to fix these manners. If you don't fix them, you are going to perish. You need friends who will tell you to stop some things. You need friends that will tell you that be accountable for the wrong things that you have done, and even the mistakes. We need those friends. We need good friends who will help us to grow spiritually and also emotionally. Who will tell that, my friend, you are becoming weak. You are becoming strong. You are becoming tough. We need those friends. So as young men, look for those friends. Have one or two friends who will help you and who will tell you to do what is right when you are doing what is wrong. Who will not applaud for you when you are messing up in your life. We need those relationships. And also as young men, we need to accept that sometimes we make mistakes.
Right.
And we need to learn from failure. I didn't say beat yourself up and hide yourself under a pillow, but understand that you make mistakes, and mistakes are opportunities for growth. When you read from the book of Proverbs, the chapter is 24, the verse is 16, the Bible says, For tough the righteous fall seven times, It's tough that they fall for seven times, but they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So the Bible is clear that it's tough that a righteous man falls seven times. The reason why he falls seven times, it is because he rises seven times. A righteous man doesn't fall once and fall for all, but he will fall once and rise again.
Hey.
So young men should be taught that mistakes are there. You can fall, but you can also rise again.
Amen, Fundisi. Thank you so much for that. And what roles do fathers, mentors, and church leaders play in shaping future men?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've always grown to want to become like my father.
Wow.
I okay. always told my wife that, you know what, I wish I could love you like my father does.
Oh.
Anyway, that's a, because, you know, I've since understood that the way I treat my wife is the way I saw my father treating my mother.
Wow.
You know, if you have a good role model, you will want to do what is right. There's studies show that abusive men, most of them come from abusive families. If the father was beating the mother, high chances the young man might follow that path. So if you have a wrong role model, you will also be a wrong model. And I tell you, fathers act as a primary role models to a lot of young men, and their behaviors and in fact their behavior and values significantly impact their children's understanding of manhood. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, that start children off on the right way they should go, even if when they are old, they will not turn away from it. So when children are taught the right way, when children are shown the right way, they will not leave it. They will not leave it. And we also have mentors. You know, mentors provide wisdom and experience. You know, in Africa, we don't believe in mentors and in life coaches. We believe that we leave ourselves in Woma's Pile Latina. But mentors will help young men navigate challenges and model what it means to be a godly man.
Hey.
You know, when we read from the book of Titus, the chapter is 2 and the verses 7 to 8, we are told that in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. So young men need mentors who will help them, and also church leaders need to foster a sense of belonging and community. So they should provide these spiritual teachings and resources in helping young men to understand what it means to be a man.
Powerful one, my pastor. Before I let you go, I have a question. So maybe there's a listener who's confused like I am. When we're speaking of young men, age range, we're speaking of maybe from which age to which age, where we say these are young men.
You know what? There is a proverb in Zulu and Ndebele that says, "Isikoko sikoqwa sisemanzi." In other words, they are simply saying, "Train them young, kiss them young."
Yes. Yeah.
I believe. A boy from the age of zero,
okay,
up to the age where we can see, or he can see, that he is a man and he is ready for marriage, he is still a young man. And even married, you can still be a young man. In fact, let me say this. I know it might be confusing, but everyone is a young man.
Okay. Okay.
You need someone who helps you to become a better man at the end of the day. But fine, there is an age range where we can say 25 going down, or even let's say 28 going down. We are young men. We are still growing. Mm. We need help from older men than us.
Oh. Wow, powerful one, my pastor. Before I let you go, the last question, last one, I promise you. And how do you humility and service help define a real man in today's world?
All right. You know, humility is not low self-esteem.
Okay.
But humility is recognizing your limitations and valuing other people's contributions in your life. Mm. You know, that's my best definition I can give to people or men as humility. It's understanding that you are limited, you are not robust, you are not a superhuman, you make mistakes.
Mm.
Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 then says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself. There is no greater humility than valuing others above yourself. Mm-hmm. And also putting others before yourself as Jesus did. Acts 20 verse 35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Mm. So to me, humility, it is appreciating others and putting others first, just as Jesus did.
Mm. Wow. Fundisi, let us close this beautiful and powerful conversation with a word of prayer.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, you are our perfect example of what a man is. You came to this world, you left all the splendors and the glory of heaven, and you came and suffered like a man who is a man of sin, just to save us from sin. You even went to a point, dear Lord, of laying down your own life so that today we may be called the sons of God. You were treated like we ought to be treated, so that later we may be treated like you are supposed to be treated. Dear God in heaven, if there's one thing you can do, it is to bring up real men who are going to stand for what is right. Real men who are going to be priests in their own houses. Real men that are going to stand and be an example in this world. Help us, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so, so, so much, my pastor. Until tomorrow.
Thank you.
Have a good day, my pastor.
Thank you so much. Have a good day too.
Amen. To our listeners at home, that was Pastor Godswill Gumbo talking to us about parenting with purpose, what it means to be a man. What a powerful, beautiful conversation.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.